14. We're looking at John 14. And over the past 6 weeks, we've been looking at the I am statements of John, the book of John. And it has been, I've never had to study as much as I have for this series. And I don't know why, but I have learned so much and I have so enjoyed learning from the book of John about the master teacher who is Jesus. And remember these statements, the I am statements. He begins each one of them with the, it's actually a reference from Exodus about where God said, I am who I am. And so really what Jesus is doing is he's claiming that he's God. And that was a radical thing to do in that day. It's kind of interesting. You don't have to go there. I'll read it to you. But the book of John has as its purpose this. In John 20, verses 30 and 31, it says, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But listen to this. Here's the reason the book of John is written. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, you will have life. That word life, Zoe. You will have life by the power of His name. So in other words, the entire book of John has been written so we could discover the master teacher, Jesus, and who He really is. And we talked about the very first I am statement. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. In other words, your spiritual hunger can only be satisfied by a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, your spiritual hunger is satisfied. And then we talked about how Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We live in a world that is dark. And Jesus made this totally wonderful statement. He says, I'm the light of the world. The way that you get rid of darkness is by taking the light into the darkness. And that's Jesus. I hate to tell you, it's not Southern Baptist. It's Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world, and that's how you get rid of darkness. And so He was the bread of life. He's the light of the world. And then He says, I'm the door. I am the door. There's no way into a relationship with God. There's no way into heaven other than by the door, and that door is who? Jesus Christ. Over and over again, as He shares these I am statements, He's sharing with us the only way to know God in a personal way is through Jesus Christ. And so He says, I am the door. And then we looked, He said, I am the good shepherd. And we talked about how the good shepherd is the one who leads the sheep to the pasture and leads them into the sheepfold. And so the picture we have of God is that of a shepherd. It's a beautiful picture because a shepherd cares for the sheep. And then we talked about last week about the story of Lazarus. And Lazarus, who was a good friend of Jesus, had just died. And Mary and Martha, the family, was just devastated by his death. And he comes walking up. You remember the story. They were upset because he didn't come right away. And he came walking up a little bit later. And the brother has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to the sister, I am the resurrection and the life. And so what do you need to hear at a funeral? That Jesus can take care of the problem. And that was last week. And then this morning, We come to this passage where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it is so beautiful. And it's important for us to understand that it's very offensive to many people nowadays. So what I'm sharing with you this morning can be offensive. We should not make it offensive. But here's the story. In John chapter 13, Jesus is winding up His time with His disciples. As a matter of fact, He had washed their feet. And then later on in John chapter 13, when He's with His disciples, I mean, we're talking days before He is crucified, He says to His disciples, He says, guess what? One of you guys are going to betray me. It's not exactly what you want to hear from your leader. He's there with the 12. He says, one of you guys are going to betray me. And then he also tells them in verse 33 of John chapter 13, he also says this. He says, listen, guys, I'm fixing to leave you for a little while. Now, over and over again, Jesus tried to prepare his disciples for the fact that he was going to die, that he was going to die and be resurrected. He over and over again tried to prepare them for that, but they just didn't get it. They really didn't get it until Pentecost. And so Jesus tells them in verse 33, he basically says, dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. And then that just really bothered them because they're realizing he's leaving them. And then at the very end of chapter 13, Peter, who's always quick to speak, sometimes slow to act, Peter said, oh, Lord, I'll die for you. And he closed chapter 13 with basically saying, listen, Peter, I know you think you will die for me, but before morning, you're going to deny me three times. And then you get to chapter 14, the I am statement. So these disciples are pretty upset. He's leaving them. And they're upset by that. They don't know where he's going. They haven't got it figured out. Look at verse 1. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. They were upset. They were confused. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. One of the things Jesus has been trying to do was explain to his disciples that God the Father and God the Son are the same. Jesus is God in the flesh. They're the same. He'd been trying to explain that to them, but they just couldn't get it. And so he says, trust in me, trust also in my Father. And then look at verse 2. You hear this passage at funerals all the time. He says, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. Now here's the picture. I've always heard people say they can't, at funerals that you're going to get your own mansion in heaven. That's not what the Scripture says. He says the Father has a mansion. And you're guaranteed a room in the mansion. It's a picture of family. It's a picture of community. He says, listen, in my Father's mansion, my Father's home, there's enough room for you. There are rooms for you. And then he says, if this were not so, I would have told you that. I am going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. Now here's the problem. Jesus says, I'm about to leave you, and you know the way to where I'm going. Look at Thomas. Now my wife, she's always counseling me. She says, don't be mean to Thomas. Thomas is called Doubting Thomas only because of one passage where he said, let me see your hands. And he gets a bad rap for that, okay? But here's what I like about Thomas. He's real. He's honest. When he doesn't get it, he states that he doesn't get it. Much unlike us. Look what he says in verse 5. No, we don't know, Lord. He says, you know the way I'm going. And Thomas goes, no, we don't know, Lord. He says, we have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? I mean, he's just being honest. He's saying, Lord, I don't know where you're going. Why can't we go with you? I'm confused. And so in the midst of this confusion, look what he says in verse 6. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. These are powerful titles for him. These are powerful descriptions. Then look what he says. Here's where we get in trouble. Father, he says, no one can come to the Father except through me. This is where we get in trouble in today's world. You will have people say, you mean you don't think there are other ways to heaven? My answer to that is, that's not what he says. As much as I would like there to be other ways for people to get to heaven, so more people would be in heaven, I can't go against what the Father teaches, what the teacher teaches. Jesus himself, who is God in the flesh, who reveals God. You can't know God without knowing Jesus. When you know Jesus, you know God. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And then he says in verse 7, if you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. God the Father, God the Son are both God. You know Jesus, you know God. You know God, you will have to know Jesus. There is just a beautiful picture of God the Father. And then he says, from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Well, that story, I think, breaks down into three important parts that I want you to think about this morning. And I want you to think about, from your own perspective, what do you believe about Jesus? And the first one is this: is Jesus your way? Jesus told Thomas, I am the way. Thomas was confused. How can I follow God? How can I be with God? How can I be with him? Why is he leaving? He was so incredibly confused. He was so incredibly honest. He said, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand it. And that's where Jesus comes to him and he says, in all this confusion to these disciples, I am the way. That little word, way, is a Greek word that literally means, it means a road or a path or a natural path. It is a way. And what Jesus is teaching Thomas is, listen, the only way to follow me is through me. I am the path. See, it's not, I get so frustrated because I've been a Southern Baptist all my life and I'm going to die a Southern Baptist more than likely. But here, it's never been about Southern Baptists. It's been about Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way. There's not a Southern Baptist way, a Methodist way, a Presbyterian. There's only one way, and it's in the person of Jesus Christ. And that is the beauty of the gospel. If a church majors on the way, they're going to major on Jesus. If your church is about anything other than Jesus, it's about the wrong stuff. This last week, they all run together. It was in the last 2 weeks. I was meeting with a gentleman, just happened to be by, and he was all excited, and he was telling me about his church. And don't take this the wrong way. And he kept saying, our church was founded on Southern gospel music. Now, don't get mad. I'm not a Southern gospel music fan. Please don't get mad. Don't throw rocks. I know y'all love it. I support you going to the concerts. Just don't necessarily take me with. But he said, our church is founded on Southern gospel music. So I'm here having this conversation. I'm smiling on the inside. And then on the inside, I'm thinking, how sad. You should never found your church on music of any kind. Contemporary, gospel, heavenly highways, never. Every church is always to be founded on who? The way. And it's so important that you understand you're not going to get into heaven by being good or being baptized or being a part of a denomination. The only way you're going to follow Jesus into heaven someday is because of a person named Jesus who is the only way. Jesus made it clear, not me. He said, the only way is through me. And so it's not just Jesus saying that because Jesus is God in the flesh. It's God saying the only way to me is through who? Me. And so the question that you have to ask yourself, the question that I have to ask myself is, have I been on the way? Have I been on the right road, the right path? And there's only one path. It's only in Jesus Christ. And it's so very important that the church and the world today always point people to Jesus, because He's the only path. And if you point them to anything else other than Jesus Christ, you're pointing them to the wrong thing. I became a Christian in the fourth grade because of a way, a path, a road called Jesus. And if you know Him, that's how you came to know Him, is you decided to go down that path. And if you think about it, when you're out there hiking, you have to choose to be on a path, right? It's a choice. You can see the path and go, man, that looks like a good path. But for you to experience the path, you have to do what? Walk down it. Last week, we took our friends out to Little Missouri Falls, and we followed the path. It was kind of scary a little bit, because I didn't know where I was going. But we could have sat there at the car place where you parked and go, man, that looks like a good path. Or you could go down the path and experience the beauty of the path. And it was beautiful. It's the same way about Jesus. You can either know about Him, study about Him, think about Him, or you can experience Him. To experience Him is to follow Him. It is to go down that path. Matthew 8:22, it says, "But Jesus told him, 'Follow me now.'" If you want to be a believer in Jesus Christ, you better be following Him. And where is He going to take you? He's going to take you down the right path. I don't know where you came from. I don't know how you came to know Christ. I just know this. If it was anything other than a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're on the wrong path. There's only one way. And it makes people mad. It makes people would come and someone might say to me, "You mean there's only one way to heaven?" And I would have to say yes. That makes people mad. Someone got mad. I think our sign said that not too long ago. And someone saw our sign and got upset. And their statement was, "You mean there's only one way that Baptist church thinks you can go to heaven?" And the answer is, yes. Now don't get mad. If you want to get mad, I guess there's nothing I can do to stop. We would be lying to tell you something else. Jesus is the way. As a matter of fact, that word "way" in the book of Acts, you don't have to look it up, but in Acts 9 verse 2, Acts 19 verse 9, Acts 22 verse 4, Acts 24 verses 14 and 22, the way the Christian church was described is they were described as the way. They were on a path. They were going in a direction. So is Jesus your path? Now here's the second thing. Is Jesus your truth? Jesus can testify to the truth and teach the truth because He is the truth. And when you claim to be the truth, what you're really claiming to be is God Himself. So these disciples, they were so confused. They wanted to know the truth. How do you know truth? Do you go to some truth guru? Listen, what you hear on TV, people tell you, you know, there's many paths, whatever. Don't listen to that stuff. There's only one truth, and it's in the Scripture, and it's about a person named Jesus. And Jesus says, if you want to know the truth about spiritual life, if you want to know the truth about God, it's Me. You see, Pilate, he even after interviewing Jesus, he had the question. He said in Acts in John 18:38, "What is truth?" And Jesus answers that question in chapter 14, verse 6. He says, "I am truth." Now Pilate didn't do what he should have done with that truth, but Jesus claims to be the truth. And I don't know who makes the rules for your religion. I just know this, it better be Jesus. The rules for your religion, which Americans, we love to make up our religion today, don't we? We like to discover what, we like to say this is okay, that's okay. But the truth is in Jesus. And if you want to know truth, you have to look to Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 14, he says this, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory as the glory as the only Son from the Father. And then He says this, full of grace and truth. You want truth? Go to Jesus. You want to know what's true about spiritual things? Go to Jesus. In verse 17, He said this. He says, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Truth is found in Jesus. As a matter of fact, He said in John 8:32, He says, and you will know the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus. And you will know the truth. And what will the truth do? Set you free. So truth is a person. Truth is the Son of God, the Messiah. It's Jesus. And if you don't know the truth, you're in trouble. I don't care what any psychologist says. I don't care what any TV guru talks. If you don't know the truth, you're in trouble. Now, I don't say that. The Scripture says that. But I also like what Jesus said. He says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How do you get free from sin? Being good? No, that's what man says. You get set free from sin through Jesus, being in Jesus, allowing Him to take your place. And so Thomas was struggling, and Jesus is trying to explain to Thomas, here's how you know truth. It's, the truth is in me, and if you follow me, if you're on the right path, and you have the right truth, you will go to the right place. You will follow me. But the biggest danger I could tell you this morning is that the world will try to tell you what truth is. And the world will try to change the rules and make this okay. And the best way to deal with that, people, is just follow Jesus. Focus on what He says, not what the world says. We have a truth crisis in our world today. We have people who are so confused. And quite honestly, the church hasn't helped a lot of times. Truth is truth. And Jesus is the truth. So if what you believe goes against what Jesus teaches, you got a truth problem. I don't care who backs you up. You just better make sure it's Jesus. And then we get to the last thing, and I'm done. Is Jesus your life? Now, I'm going to be the first to say to you, this has been the funnest part of this study, is to look through the book of John and to see the word life, which is the Greek word zoe. And there's three words in the Greek that are used to describe life. There's bios, which is physical life. Right now, this is my physical life, my body. But there's the personality of Bill, who is the psuche, which is the personality part of this body. And then there is the zoe, the spiritual life that I have that came into my life in the fourth grade. You see, Bill, and I've just, over and over, John keeps talking about the life, eternal life, the abundant life, all these words. But the word life is always in this context, zoe. And so I started thinking, well, how do you get it? Do I get it? Well, here's the first thing. I want to try to explain this one last time. Maybe one other time. But in Ephesians 2:1, listen to what Ephesians 2:1 says. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. So here's the picture. Before Christ, the Bible says you're dead. You're physically alive, your bio's alive, but you're spiritually dead. Okay? You're a walking dead person until you know Christ. And that's so hard to get in your mind, but it's the truth. Without Jesus Christ, you are spiritually dead. You're walking, you're breathing, but you're dead. And then it says in Romans 6:13b, it says this, instead, give yourself totally, completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. Before Christ, you're dead, even though you're alive physically. But once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are alive. You have Zoe. You have spiritual life. You have a relationship. And then look at Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is, but the free gift of God is eternal life." You know what that word is for life? Zoe. So in other words, it's salvation. You were dead, but then through Jesus you become alive, and you're different, or you should be. When you accept Jesus Christ, you should be different because He is life. It is a different way of living. And if it's not a different way of living, something is wrong. But look at 1 John 5:11 and 12, and he says, "And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal Zoe life. He has given us eternal life." And then here's the key right here. "And this life is in His Son." And then he says, "Whoever has the..." Come on. "Son has..." And the word is Zoe. I always debate whether I should share things. I guess that's dangerous. If I was going to have a tattoo, it would say Zoe. I determined that. Don't write me any letters, whatever. I'm just talking out. If. I don't have any tattoos, and it's none of your business if I do anyway. But I'm saying, why? Because to me, it's the most beautiful word because it's about Bill Ashburn being alive, not dead. Without Jesus, I was dead. With Jesus, I'm alive. And I'm different, not because of me, but because of Him. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And here's the thing I want you to realize, that when you are alive in Christ, when you have Zoe life, it ought to be better than it was the old way. And I just want to scream and say, Christians, we ought to be having more fun. We ought to enjoy life more because we have Zoe life. We're not just bio life. 1 Corinthians 1:9b says this, that Jesus has invited, or God has invited us into a partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ. A relationship. You were saved to be alive, not dead. But how do you do that? I go back to this verse that I shared last week. Galatians 2:20. How do you have Zoe life? Galatians 2:20. "My old self has been crucified with Christ." And I love this part right here. Here's the key. "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." What does it mean to be Zoe, spiritually alive? It's to allow Jesus to live through your personality. It's not go to church. It's not read your Bible. It's to let Him take over your life. You see, Jesus is the key to this whole deal. He's the key to the whole thing. And not only that, He should be your goal. Listen to what Romans 8:28 says. It says, "For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son." What is your goal as a Christian? It's to become like the Son. It's to become like Jesus Christ. Are you experiencing Zoe life? Is your life any better because of Jesus? John 10:10. It reminds us the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Then Jesus says, "My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." And that word for life is what? Zoe. You see, Jesus, when He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," that's a game changer. He's basically saying, you're no longer free to do what you want. I'm free to do what I want through you if you'll just let me. And so the master teacher is asking you, and he's already asked me these three questions. Is He the way? Is He the truth? And is He my life? Either is or isn't. But He never came to be just a part of. He actually came to consume you and to change you for the better. So, do you have life? Do you have Zoe life? Let's pray. Father, I come to you and I thank you so much for your love. And I thank you that when we really get to know you as the master teacher, it's more than what we learned in vacation Bible school and Sunday school. It is much deeper. It's life-changing. That when we have the Son, we have life. A different life. Father, my prayer for every single soul in this building this morning that knows you is that when they leave this place this morning, they would take advantage of an opportunity to live for you, to glorify you, to point people to you, because that's what the life is all about. Forgive us, Lord, when we're fussy, when we're gripey, when we have bad attitudes, when we don't live for you, because all we do is drag people down the wrong path or what they think is our path. Help First Baptist Mount Ida to be all about Jesus. I thank for this time in Jesus' name.